Two very different men are set before you today. One a king, another a carpenter. Both of the house and lineage of David, each facing in their own times their own individual hardships and circumstances with a future unknown to them. Both are given the same word of God to believe, and yet each story has a very different ending. The first man was King Ahaz, who Ahaz reigned over the kingdom of Judah during the time of the divided kingdom. Only the tribe of Benjamin remained with Judah in the southern kingdom, while all the others formed the kingdom of Israel in the north. And Israel, along with Syria, came out together against Judah, and Ahaz and his people feared greatly. Now Ahaz was an idolatrous king. He did not fear the Lord, and in fact, he set up altars all throughout Judea to sacrifice to other gods. Even so, the Lord, in his mercy and his zeal for Zion, sent the prophet Isaiah to give word to Ahaz of the Lord's deliverance. The Lord had proclaimed judgment on Israel and Syria, and all Ahaz and the people of Judah had to do was stand firm in their faith. Knowing the lack of faith that was in the heart of Ahaz, God offered him a sign, an opportunity for repentance and trust. "Ask a sign of the Lord your God," Isaiah proclaimed. "Let it be deep as Sheol or high as the heaven." But Ahaz wanted no part in the Lord's plan. So, in seemingly pious but empty words, Ahaz responds, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." In truth, Ahaz refused to place his trust in the Lord. And so the Lord himself gave a sign for the deliverance of all who would believe and trust in him. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and your father's house such days as have not come since the day Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria. And indeed a child was born as a sign, but not yet this Emmanuel. For Ahaz did not believe and instead robbed the Lord's temple of its gold and silver and sent it all to the king of Assyria as a tribute, asking him for help, for deliverance, for rescue from Israel and Syria. And the king of Assyria did come, but after defeating Israel and Syria, he turned his sword against the kingdom of Judah, and the people were left broken and shattered." In other words, Ahaz's refusal of faith to trust in the Lord and the people's idolatry led them into the judgment of Judah. And yet, God continued to promise to those who feared him and waited for the Lord that this Emmanuel would come, this child that would be born to them, born of a virgin who would be God with us. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the remnant of Israel will lean on this Holy One of Israel, and of his reign and peace there will be no end." And it is there where the story of the second man comes in. Joseph was a righteous man, part of that remnant of Israel, faithful to the Lord, waiting for the appearance of this Emmanuel. And Joseph was betrothed to a woman named Mary. She was legally bound to Joseph, though the time for the consummation of their marriage had not yet come, and a virgin she remained. So it was a bit of a surprise to Joseph when Mary was found to be with child. Knowing that this child was not his own, Joseph resolved to do a pious thing. Just as a just man, Joseph wanted to do what was right by God according to his law. But as a compassionate man, he also wanted to do what was right by Mary according to his love for her. And so he resolved to divorce her quietly for her apparent unfaithfulness, not wishing to add to her shame. But as he considered these things, the Lord sent a messenger to Joseph. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins." Matthew tells us that this all happened to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy, that indeed Mary had not been unfaithful, but that this is in fact the child of the virgin conceived, the promised Emmanuel. And it is he, this child, the angel says, who will deliver his people from their sins. And how? Of course we know. This child was born to die. Born to bear this world's sin upon his shoulders all the way to the cross, where he would face the righteous wrath of God in our place. In doing so, it is not we who are shattered, but our bonds to sin and death, so that all who believe in this one, this Holy One of Israel, would be gathered together in his sanctuary. And the Prince of Peace will reign over us in justice and righteousness, and his peace will dwell among us forevermore. In fact, the only other time Matthew refers to the Old Testament prophecy in this formula, that all of this took place in order to fulfill, is when Jesus himself is being arrested and dragged to the cross. And Joseph responds to this word of promise, not in fear, but in faith. And he took Mary, his wife, and he took the child and named him Jesus, just as the angel had instructed. And Joseph raised Jesus as his own. Unlike Ahaz, Joseph was able to see with his own eyes at last that long-for promised Emmanuel. Joseph's faith led him to actively participate in the story of God's salvation. Two very different men sit before you today. One a king, the other a carpenter. Both of the house and lineage of David, each facing in their own times their own individual hardships in their own circumstances, with their future unknown to them. Both are given the same word of God to believe, yet each story has a very different ending. So what about you? Where do you fit into the story of Emmanuel? Whose footsteps are you going to follow? King Ahaz? Or Joseph? Do you believe in the sign of Emmanuel? I do not know all of the hardships that each of you are facing in your own time, in your own lives, the hardships and the circumstances of physical and mental health, with parenting or caring for your parent, with strained relationships with family or friends, with your own struggle against sin, with your own fight against unbelief. But I do know that through it all, the Lord continues to hold out this sign to you, the promise of his salvation, this virgin-born son, this Emmanuel, whose name is Jesus. For there is no other name by which you are saved. There is no one else who is able to deliver you not only from everlasting death, but even your own hardships in this life. This one who bled and died, who rose again and ascended for you. And all who believe in this Christ child receives his promise that God is and remains with us always. As Jesus himself promised before his ascension, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So lean on this Holy One of Israel, for he has come for your deliverance. Pray to him now for your body and soul. He might not grant it in this life, but then again, he may. He is our Lord and our Redeemer, our Emmanuel. And in him is your wonderful Counselor, your mighty God, your everlasting Father, your Prince of Peace. All who trust in him and wait on him, this crucified, risen, and ascended Emmanuel, will be brought safely through all their hardships of this life, even through sin and death, to life everlasting. For one day this Emmanuel will return, and he will set all things right, and he will make all things new for you. This Emmanuel, this Jesus, was conceived and born to put an end to sin and death forever for you. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue.